part of what's going on in this time frame, from what I'm seeing, is separating the wheat from the chaff, separating light from dark, seeing what it is to walk in His Spirit as opposed to walking in your own way. And since the world is filled with deception, there's nothing but deception. No matter where you look in the world, it's deception. Is that the ice machine? We're bombarded with messages constantly trying to draw us away from what? Away from that gem, that spark, that slim, narrow path. Anything that can be used to pull us off will be used. And everything is coming against us. And a question occurs to me, why do you want to even be a believer? What's the compelling force? What's driving you to continue in this quest? And what are you even searching for? Do you know? Is it a habit? Is it a lifestyle? Is it comfortable? Is it just something that, is there status to it? There's nothing but to find and search out our idols and see what it is we're worshiping that we're putting God's name on that gives us comfort, because we've got God's name on an idol being and then discovering that we are deceived and that the idol that we're worshiping with God's name on it is an idol. We've seen that for 35 years around here. People put their name, God's name on something. And for us, it gets real personal. We can put God's name on all kinds of things in this community, our magazine, our investigations, our community, our friends, it's just, we have our own restaurant, we have our own school. If you ever hear yourself talk about stuff, you brag. I do. I brag about stuff sometimes, about what we do around here. And then I hear myself bragging, you know, lifting up some thing that makes what I do look like it's godly or spiritual or something. And I despise myself when I see that, and I have to repent quickly, because there's nothing we do from God's idea or from God's point of view that's righteous. There's only one that's righteous, and that's the wheat. The chaff is everything else. Everything else that you're trying to generate, or what's that in Isaiah talking about? You try and live by sparks that you generate, light that you generate. You try to be the one who causes things to come forth, i.e. you're trying to usurp God's power and God's position. Well, if you see it, what do? You rejoice because you saw it, because then you can repent. If you do not see it, you will remain in that deception and continue on in your own beggarly way, again thinking you're walking with God. And that's the most heinous thing you can imagine if your heart is seeking Him. And seeking Him is not necessarily easy. Let's turn to Jeremiah and do a little Bible reading. In the first book, chapter 1, verse 5, say 4 maybe. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I have ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Has anybody ever taken this personally? Anybody ever used that scripture? Everybody seen that? Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. It's appropriate, if seen correctly. because God did know you before you were formed in the belly. He knew, but he knew who it was that was being formed. There's the potter, and there's the, you know, there's the pot and the clay. There's, what is it? There's the earth and the seed. You know, we are the earth, but the seed that's in us is what God is concerned with, which is, that's what's precious to him. So when we hear this and we see, if our ego takes it, oh, God knew me, I'm a king's kid, then we're off to gathering up God's promises so that we can have our great lives. But if we see from God's point of view, everything about us is to be abandoned so that the preciousness of the seed can use the fertilizer of our flesh to grow. And that's what our flesh is. It's a bunch of fertilizer. It feeds. It's a bunch of crap. Yeah, but we don't, until we see it, we don't know that. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Now that's another incredible thing, because we're all ordained to speak. There's nobody in here that's not. And is there any reason you wouldn't speak? Yeah, because you're afraid of the faces of men. You're afraid they'll look at you funny, and you'll say something, and they'll are they? Men's faces do all kinds of things. We are intimidated by men's faces. Anybody disagree with that? That's how we operate. Cause and effect. If I say something and I get a bad response or some bad posture or whatever, I better modify that a little bit so that it sounds better. So I'll get a better facial reaction. So we're slaves to the enemy. We haven't seen our ordination from God to please him, not to please men. And that's much of what our life's about, is pleasing men, not pleasing God. So so it goes back to the question, why do you want to be a believer?
It's kind of about pleasing me.
Yeah, you look in the mirror when you talk. See, how am I doing, Kevin? Yeah. That's fine. So, behold, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Meditate on that one. Be not afraid of their faces. Then the Lord put forth his hands and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. As we go through this, this word that never seems to leave me is one of where you've placed your trust, where you have put your confidence. You got $1 million, what bank do you put it in? You know, all of your assets, and what are they, in whose hands are they placed? You know, you have to see it in a parable somehow, because you can't see it directly. But it's about, have you seen enough? Have you examined the Lord? Have you looked at the sacrifice sufficiently to know that everything is covered and you can, with all confidence, place all your trust in God? Do you know that? It's not words. Do you know it? If you know it, you walk in peace and comfort and joy because you know it. I know one thing. After Monday, we had a nice meeting here. I got pushed to the wall. My words convict me. All day long, I was beat up against the wall and tested and tried and shaken and rattled. It was a terrible day.
What do you mean?
Because I was talking about the nature of Jesus and walking in him and what that is. Well, I found out what it isn't. you know, all day long. And it wasn't until 2 o'clock I, you know, my words rang in my own ears like, Jesus Christ, you know, and I'm a failure. I do not walk in His way. But I was miserable. I mean, it was like a terrible things weren't working. I wanted it this way. It was going that way. This should have happened, that happened. You know, I have my own agenda about how things should work in my world, my business. They weren't working that way. What happens? What's my response? Try harder, get mad, speak louder, twist some arms, make some phone calls, whatever it took. You know, I'm going to make this, conform this thing to my image because I'm the boss.
Sounds like my house.
Yeah, I know the way it should be. And that's what I did for quite some time, you know, hours.
How did that work for
you? No, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful. I'll tell you what worked was when I saw it and repented quickly. It was like, and it was laughter because I saw what a fool I am to think that I can, you know, make it work in this world. It's not supposed to work in this world. It never has worked. It's not going to work. Why do I think I'm going to make it work? Because I'm hardwired to think that. And I'm not going to change my hardwire. I don't know how that works in the computer world, but I don't think you change your hardcore program. It's defaulted. That's a good word for it, isn't it? It's already filled with its own errors of judgment and that. And if I fall back on it and rely on it, which I do sometimes, and God, in His mercy and forbearance, lets me do it for a while till He grants me grace to see it. And I thank God I can repent. I'll tell you what, I've been in places where I couldn't repent before. That's the worst place in the universe, when you seek repentance with everything in you and it doesn't come. You can't get more miserable than that. So why do you want to be a believer? You're going to get beat up. You're going to get thrashed. Yeah, it's difficult. Yeah, it's going to kill your ass. So before you open that door, you know, to the wonderful kingdom of God, count the cost. Don't believe the all the goodies crap, because there's great cost. It costs you your life. It costs you everything. And if you don't know that, walking in, either you will adopt the gimme gospel and spend your life seeking what you can gain from this religious Christianity. On the other hand, the other way is you don't care about gaining, you care about losing your life to see Him. Those are the two ways. So count that cost. Going on here. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out. Here's what it is. To root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down. Hold off right about there. That's what this prophet is called to do. Well, come on, God, what are you doing that for? You know, I thought you were a loving God. I thought you were kind and full of mercy. Your little sun in your eyes there? That's not the God I worship. You ever hear that one? You're called to root out, pull down, to destroy, and throw down. That's because that seed that's in you can't survive with all of your kingdoms built up around it, with all of your self-seeking, your dreams, your ambitions, your everything. And so the words of God, this prophet, will speak, and that will be the nature of the speaking. It will be to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, so that we can build and plant. Once it's like the earth has to be tilled up before the seed can be planted. So that's much of what your life is about in this walk with God, is getting tilled up so that his seed can be planted. Not yours, but his.
That's still hope. Hope.
That's the hope. Yeah, and all you can do is rest in that hope. You can't make it happen. It happens by God's hand or it doesn't happen. And ultimately, isn't that what we prefer? If we want it to be by our hand, we know our results. We know what we will do with things.
It's like a wrestling.
Yeah.
We wrestle with him so much. His ways, we just wrestle.
Just like Jacob, until what happens?
Until we say, until we're in the chief sinners.
That's right. I'm the way of the snake.
I love that. That was.
That's an eye-opener, isn't it?
It's yeah. A beautiful.
Yeah. I'm the way of the snake. And what was that snake? That snake was that evil tempter that's always whispering in the ear, saying, hey, did God really say that? No, I think you misunderstood. Oh, yeah, you're right. I did. Yeah, I knew that. Yeah. And I love the way that snake does this. He's always deflecting and moving and, you know. It's an amazing thing, and it's your spine, you know, and it ends right up in here. It's a perfect symbol. You know, great little parable there, too. Moving on. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Well, when he saw that almond tree, he saw authority. Y'all know what authority really is? It is, it's like if you're in a class with a lot of children and you're the teacher, you've got authority. Well, there's some people who know they have authority in that arena and some who don't. And the ones who don't scream and yell and loud and whip and carry on and fight and trying to cause the children to behave. They don't have authority because they don't know what authority is. But the ones who have it, just speak. They say words and everything changes. The classroom settles down, the kids get in their places, and they're sitting there like this. There's a difference between who has the authority, because the authority doesn't come from me. The authority comes from the one who stands behind, the one who is, the one who has all power. And that connection, Jeremiah saw that he was connected to all authority, all power, all being.
It's not a title.
No, it doesn't work that way. And God says, I will hasten my word to perform it. So it puts the onus on God. It's not my job to make anybody see anything. My job personally is no job. I have no work. My job is surrender. My job is to give up and quit myself. And then if that's done, God has the ability to work through an empty vessel. The vessel full of agendas and programs can't get through. Not even try. So then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, what seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Okay. Then said the Lord unto me, out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. The north is Babylon, religion, or cause and effect. Religion is very much cause and effect. If I behave, if I do the words of the book, the holy book. If I do the holy book words, then God has to bless me because I'm doing his words. This is his book. And that's pure religion. That's, you know, cause and effect. That's how many live their lives. They don't see grace and mercy, being on the mercy seat, as the way. They see performance of the holy words. That's religion. The Lord said unto me, out of the north, out of Babylon, an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. And that's the way it works. And all the inhabitants of the land, you don't have to look at the United States. You can look at the land that you're sitting on. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. See, Babylon, the place where you think you're doing God holy service in whatever way you do, you see right down here it turns, they've forsaken him and have burned incense. And incense is just your own personal thoughts and ways of worshiping. That's your own incense. Remember, the only one authorized to carry the censer were the priests, not the people.
It was the high priest.
Yeah, the high priest. And so there's the symbol. The high priest carries the incense. And that's what goes to God. When all the people have their own censer in their hand, that's what this is about. They have entered Babylon. They know. Moses isn't the only one who knows. You know, God has blessed all of us. You know the whole story. It says, and I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, which is their own self-religious thinking, who have forsaken me. But they don't think they've forsaken him. After all, they're worshiping him, and have burned incense unto other gods, but they don't think it's other gods, they think it's God himself, and worship the works of their own hands, their own strength, their own doings. Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. Now, you don't want to be in that position. You know.
Second time.
Right. It says, for behold, I have made thee this day a defensed city and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. So it puts you in a spot, doesn't it? This place that you have chosen by your actions of saying, yes, I want to serve the Lord, I want to walk with God. You best count the cost before you walk through that door. You do not want to be on the other side of that door having still some remnants and bits of stuff that you think you need to do and want to do. It's why evangelism is a different thing than what we see in this country. It's not, hey, come on to Jesus. Everybody, fill up the pews. That kind of Christianity is not what this is talking about. This is talking about those who have seen so clearly who God is that they're willing to abandon self. They're not struggling to abandon self. And the only reason you will abandon yourself is because you've seen it. And you've seen it because you've followed your passions. If you got something to do, we've said this a million times, if you got something to do, go do it. Before you walk through that door, go do it. See if there's life in it. See if you can generate some life out of your own hand. Find out all the stuff. Then, when you see that all is vanity, abandoning self, denying self, laying your life down, it's not like a chore. It's like a joy. Because you know, as Jesus did before he went to the cross, he had to know something. You don't just say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine. You don't do it. Those aren't cheap words. He had to have, in his prayer God granted him, obviously, the vision, the seeing of what he represented, who he was. And we see it in the Afkamen often, that he saw the bride. And if you see the bride, you can lay your life down. Not begrudgingly. Not like that gal who looked back at Sodom and turned to a pillar of salt. She still had some longings for what's back there. So there's no shame in not opening that door. The shame is opening that door before you're ready, because you've been told there's something wonderful in there. And you're seeking for yourself. You're seeking to gain something from this walk. So this is preparation for Pentecost. This was those people who, 120 who sat in that room, scared, empty, not knowing, having seen things, not understood them, brought to the point of trust in God alone. And then God moved. And my phone rang. So, consider these things. Selah. Don't just let it... Think about it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okie dokie. See, when my phone rings, I fear Pete's face.